Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway? Now bringing you Conversation Radio here on 960 The Quake, every Saturday at 5.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you to The Joan Kenley Show. We're dedicated to bringing you Conversation Radio. We offer you topics to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. With conversations that matter, we hope you'll take away some ideas to share with friends, family, and community. In other words, keep talking. In this hour, we'll be asking the question, how can gathering women save the world? And what do women see as their role today? How do we put a positive light on feminism and activism? When we talk about forefathers in America, why aren't we also talking about our foremothers in the same breath? Well, keep listening because I have three fantastic women joining me to delve into these questions and more. Jean Shinoda Bolen, Isabel Allende, and Justine Toms. Jean Bolen is widely known as a lecturer and author. She's written 10 profound and influential books, including Goddesses in Every Woman and The Millionth Circle. Her most recent is Urgent Message from Mother, Gather the Women, Save the World. Dr. Bolen is also a Jungian analyst, activist, and a clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco. Isabel Allende is recognized as one of Latin America's foremost female writers. From her first international bestseller, House of Spirits, to her newest book, to be published this fall, Inés of My Soul, she has pleased her readers over the years with 15 novels that have been translated in 27 countries. Isabel has also worked as a television presenter, journalist, playwright, and children's author. Justine Toms, for more than 30 years, has been hosting and producing worldwide broadcasts for New Dimensions Radio, reporting on what some consider the history of the future. She's co-authored with her husband Michael Toms, True Work, Doing What You Love, and Loving What You Do. Her interviews have included such well-known women as Jane Goodall, Gloria Steinem, and Alice Walker. So as we begin, we want to talk first about how women are perceived in the world today, where they stand, and what they stand for. Jean, could you start us off on that conversation?
Well, women are more visible than they ever have been historically. But I'm really very interested in what ordinary women are interested in and how they are reacting to the way and the way the world is now. And so when I go out in the world and lecture and meet a great many women across the country and in some other countries as well, one is we care about collateral damage because it's us, it's children, it's women, it's the vulnerable. Women are concerned with the planet and with all the kinds of things that need to be nurtured, people, plants, oceans, what have you, and they want to know how to get involved. And it's a certain kind of age thing, too. It's in the second half of life. When you have time and you can reflect back on what you know, that you really are looking for what I call an assignment.
That is, I found that true myself.
It is true. You want to make a difference.
And I recently read a report that said we're killing more children than soldiers in today's warfare. I mean, with the problems around the world and right here at home, it's just such a poignant time for women to come forward, isn't it?
Well, it used to be that 90% of the casualties were the soldiers and 10% were the
right.
Civilians. Now it looks like it's getting to be 90% collateral damage at its civilians and 10% soldiers. So that it's about time that we who represent as women the collateral damage, that we have something to say about the way the world is going.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And Justine, you might chime in on that idea.
Well, I will. I love what you said, Jean. It's a time of connection. It's a time where women really have a place where they all agree, no matter beyond our religions, beyond any our ideology, there is a place where we all come together, and that's about the children. And that bodes well for the future, because I feel like we're really in the changing of an age, and we're coming out of what I would call the vertical culture where everything is hierarchical and everything goes up and down. And as we've
the old story,
and if we look, astrophysicists are telling us, and if we use our own eyes, we know there is no up and down in the universe. There's
right.
only in and out and around. So as we really start to connect with one another, we get more positive feedback that this is the truth of the way energy works. So I agree that we're on the precipice of a great movement, and it's expanding.
We want to catch it.
Exactly. And be part of it.
Which our listeners, I hope, will be so stimulated by that today. And Isabel,
We should try to catch it soon before it's too late.
Yes.
Because I feel that there is a great movement of reaction to that. Fanaticism, religious fanaticism, war, violence. Women put down again. Whenever possible, women are forced to go back to their homes, to be isolated, not to gather, not to talk, not to be together. Because this energy is something that the patriarchy does not want. So it is very important that we get up and do this now. I think that for the first time in history, probably, there is a very large number of older women who are empowered. Women who have education, who have free time, who have health, and who are, like Jean and yourself, and probably myself, committed to change. Young women are raising kids. And all over the world, I think that it's us, our generation, and women a little younger than us, that have to do something right now before it's too late.
Well, actually, the timing is terrific because we have a window of either opportunity or disaster that probably for the planet with the nuclear stuff and all, that maybe there's only a couple of decades where we can really tilt the difference and make a difference. And that happens to be the prime years of the second half of life women, postmenopausal women, activist women who grew up influenced by the women's movement, and here we are.
Well, Jean, I know that you've been on this edge for a long time. You've been part of Ms. Magazine and the whole feminist movement going back many, many years. So what's the change that you see now and the possibility in your generation and our generation?
Well, first of all, there's a yearning to go back into circles or groups because back in the late 60s and 70s, it was just women, grassroots movement, women. I mean, we were all grassroots. So it's just women saying, come on, let's get together and talk about what we are learning about patriarchy and sexism and various things. And it went from the ideas to the personal, and that whole idea that the personal is political and really getting it. And so then women met in groups, learned about stuff, went out to make a change. Usually it was to go home and talk to the significant other at home and at work. And then the group supported the women in it to live up to the dreams of what was possible. So here we have this model. And then there's been the great dispersion because that generation went out to get into careers that women never went into before, to raise children and what have you. And then comes this next period of what next? And there's this whole group that I'm enjoying talking to, which is about waiting for an assignment, waiting for a sense of wanting to be involved, to make a difference while this energy is still here.
I think that feminism got a bad name, reputation. It's not sexy to be a feminist. It never was.
Right.
And today, young women who have benefited from all the privileges that their mothers have obtained for them or all the rights that their mothers and grandmothers fought for don't want to be called feminists.
What do they want to be called is the question.
Get up and find a name. Find another name. But also, it's the same principle.
When we call something, when we give it a name, then it starts to implode on itself. So I like it that it doesn't have a name other than there is an energy abroad. It's a grassroots energy. We really want more peace in the world. We want to protect the children. And what we want to do is for all children, for all times, for all ages, and keep focusing on that. If we start to get into
the polarities.
Well, it does. And then the media comes in and just starts blasting that. So I think we're better off not calling it anything other than
the energy.
Well,
I have an idea today. I have an idea, and it's from Jean. Why don't we just call women together? I mean, that's the idea. If we are in conversation, if we are talking about our ideas, then we become energized to actually do something and to be something different in the world. And so I think my theme is conversation and talking about things that matter. And you're talking about Gather the Women, and your heroines, Isabel, are talking about women who are doing things that they imagine and they can actually actualize. And Justine, in your broadcast with the leaders of the world today, you are saying the future can be now, but we have to keep talking. And we'll talk more about the role of women in our culture, and we'll have lots more ideas to share with you, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Ready for more? Dr. Joan Kenley continues in a moment on 960 The Quake. Log on to joankenley.com, that's K-E-N-L-E-Y, to learn more and listen to archived shows. You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show, Saturdays at 5, right here on 960 The Quake.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you back to The Joan Kenley Show. In this hour, we're asking the question, how can gathering women save the world? We're defining the concept of the feminine in today's culture and the mother archetype. Three internationally known women are here with me today, prolific authors Jean Shinoda Bolen and Isabel Allende, and leading-edge broadcaster Justine Toms. In Jean Bolen's book, Urgent Message from Mother, Jean imagines what the mother archetype would say if she were placing a help wanted ad in today's newspapers. The ad, Jean says, might read, "Help wanted, every woman. Homekeepers for Earth. Must keep premises safe for all. Have concern for children's needs and development. Ability to manage resources, resolve conflicts, work collaboratively, ask questions, listen, and learn from the experience of others. Be empathetic and act with compassion for the benefit of all, including generations to come." Isabel, you were talking during the break about how some women never do get to go beyond their homes and get to influence others or even gather. And I wanted you to tell us a little bit about that from your point of view.
I think that getting together is very empowering. If you have people in a prison, you try to isolate the ones that are troublemakers. For centuries, women have been kept to the home, and the place to gather was the well, mm-hmm. where they could talk,
sure.
or the river where they were washing clothes. But the idea is to keep them as isolated as possible. And I remember that during the time of the dictatorship in Chile, the first thing was to isolate the family, have everybody in front of a TV set. It was forbidden to be together with other people because that empowers people.
Sure.
So I think that it is very important for us to understand that most women in the world are so busy and working so hard because they do 2/3 of the work in the world, although they have only 1% of the resources. And these women are kept isolated. The idea is that they don't get together to be activists as we have the leisure time and the affluence to do. So this bothers me, the idea that women are not the ones who are sitting there in the computer connected to everybody and doing things. There's no time for that. There's no resources. The idea is that they under a lot of pressure and, if possible, under a black mantle that covers them from head to toe.
Without question. And Trevor Rowe from the World Food Program at the UN was telling me the other day, the women that are educated as children will have a more responsible life for the whole country. And so they will give a whole can of oil, for instance, at the end of the month if the girl child comes to the school each month. And by educating the women, they have better birth control, better food,
Absolutely.
Better management in every way.
I run a little foundation, and what we do is empower women because we've seen the difference. If you give a micro loan to a family and you give it to the man, he will buy a bicycle or a radio.
Yes.
The woman will buy 2 goats, and the whole family will be better in a year.
Exactly.
And then the village will be better, and then by extension, the whole community. So it is really important to work with women.
Yes, it is. And when, Jean, you talk about the mother archetype, can you explain to our listeners how we look at the mother archetype to get refreshed and to get inspired and
to know more about ourselves by knowing the mother archetype?
Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if the energy that the mother archetype represents, which is like Mother Bear, the power to nurture the most vulnerable, which is certainly a little bear cub.
Yes.
But also to be fierce and protective, that what is missing in dysfunctional families and cultures is an empowered maternal archetype, an empowered woman who can stand and protect what matters. And that's the energy that is evocable in any woman, but that's also the energy that patriarchy has worked very, very hard at keeping dampened down. You bring women together and you find that they've got concern and heart and energy, and it just sort of bubbles up.
And courage, a lot of courage.
Yes.
I'm just reminded, too, this goes back to the whole birth process. And I've heard, like, in South America, there are more cesarean births being done. And there's that. This is a critical point
That's
in the world
terrible.
Today, because there is something that happens chemically with a woman when she gives birth in a natural way, in a good environment, with helpful people that are supporting her. There is released in her very body the kinds of hormones that go for what you're saying, Jean, that becomes fiercely protective of her young. It becomes a chemical thing that happens to women.
And also the shape of the baby's head is formed as it comes through the birth canal, which is really important for development, and if you can give natural birth.
Exactly. And here's where, again, women are being disempowered in the very beginning from that energy that's natural to her to protect her young. So we can go back worldwide in this whole movement as well.
You bet. And when you think of it, I was growing up in the 50s, and in a small town, we were almost like the little books that say we had the father, the mother, the 2.5 children, and no one talked about women gathering. My mother was sweet and tending the garden, but she never, ever talked to me about the fact that she was part of the era that got the women's vote. And she was part of the era, you know, when women couldn't really talk about how they voted. The first thing my grandmother said when I asked her how she voted, she said, "You can't tell that. You're not allowed to tell anyone what your vote was when you vote for president." And I mean, that kind of atmosphere, I thought, even when I was very young, was strange. And to think that Grover Cleveland in 1905 said, "Sensible and responsible women do not want the vote. The relative positions to be assumed by man and woman in the working out of our civilization were assigned long ago by a higher intelligence than ours." Now, go figure.
That's hierarchy. That's patriarchy. That's outrageous.
It's awful.
Yeah, but you know, the name of God is invoked all the time to keep women down.
Is that
the time?
Right?
Every single religion is patriarchal.
That's true.
And it's part of the patriarchy. Who came up with these religions? Men did.
Absolutely. And they fought and shed blood and killed people for more power, more money, and more position.
And every time a religion becomes empowered, women lose.
You know, I can remember a time when I was living in the South in Alabama, and I was married to a Southerner, and I was playing bridge.
And, you were?
Yes, and it was just after an election, and because I wasn't born and raised in the South, I had a different viewpoint about voting. And I mentioned something about who I voted for the presidential election. And everybody was shocked at the table because it wasn't what my husband had voted for. And it came up at the table. You mean your husband didn't go into the voting booth with you? I was shocked in that at that time, this is the 60s in the South, women were, their husbands would go into the voting booth with them and turn the levers in the voting booth, and actually the husbands got to vote twice. And it was unheard of for a woman to vote differently from her husband. And I, being the rebel I am, I was shocked. But that's still going on here, even in
this. It's very interesting because in Chile, since women have the vote, they always vote in separate locations to this day.
Well, enlightened.
And so women and children are in one line because the children cannot be left alone, and the men in another line because the whole point is that men will not vote for them.
Amazing.
Enlightened.
Well, indeed. And we were talking about the biology earlier in birth, Justine, and I love the way that Jean talks about oxytocin and estrogen in Gather the Women and also in The Millionth Circle and in our conversations, because when men are stressed, they tend to flee or fight, but women tend to tend and befriend. So let's talk more about that. We are biologically different in our hormonal structure, aren't we?
We're biologically different, and we're different in a lot of ways. But when you think about what any woman normally does when things are stressful, is she wants to talk to her good friend.
Absolutely.
And what happens when women talk to each other about what is stressful is the tension goes down and the oxytocin hormonal level goes up. And it is a maternal bonding hormone. And what this world needs is more oxytocin and less testosterone.
Truly. And in fact, when I've been in conversations with men in business about how they react to women in business, they say that they feel it's a little death for a woman to say, "May we have a conversation later?" And they just are fearful of what the woman might say and how they would respond.
Well, when I say about less testosterone and less flight or fight adrenaline, it has to do with if you are trying to negotiate peace and you've got two alpha males who see it all in terms of somebody wins and somebody loses,
you bet.
Then you don't have peace. If you have some more oxytocin at the table, then what you have is an energy that is interested in having not a win-lose situation, but a how can we solve this problem together.
And when you look at the tables of conversation about peace today, how few women are at the table.
And they've come up in a system that's about competition, confrontation, conflict, divisiveness. So that's how they arrive there.
Well, usually they're the only woman in the room.
And that's true.
And you know, exactly. if you're going to make a change in the world, in the very small organizations to the big planetary ones, you've got to have women working together so that if one woman puts in something, someone else supports it.
In the introduction of Jean's book, Urgent Message from Mother, she says, "Gather the Women is a message to her daughters from Mother Earth, Mother Goddess, Mother Archetype. The words evoke an intuitive recognition, a wisdom whose time has come. It is a call from the sacred feminine to bring the feminine principle into consciousness. It is time to gather the women, for only when women are strong together can women be fiercely protective of what we love. Only then will children be safe and peace a real possibility." How does gathering women create community, accountability, and integrity? We'll talk about women supporting other women in places that matter. Stay tuned.
More in a moment with Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway? Now bringing you Conversation Radio every Saturday at 5 here on 960 The Quake. The Joan Kenley Show. Conversation Radio your way on 960 The Quake.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you back to The Joan Kenley Show. We're asking the question this hour, how can gathering the women save the world? And what inspires us? And what in our lives here in the studio we have seen that takes us to the next step? And I have Jean Boland with us today, Isabel Allende, Justine Toms. And Justine, for more than 30 years, has been hosting and producing worldwide broadcasts for New Dimension Radio, reporting on what some consider the history of the future. She's co-authored with her husband, Michael Toms, True Work, Doing What You Love, and loving what you do. And Isabel Allende is recognized as one of Latin America's foremost female writers, from her first international bestseller, House of Spirits, to her newest book to be published this fall, Inés of the Soul. She has pleased her readers over the years with 15 novels that have been translated in 27 countries. And Jean Shinoda Bolen is an internationally known lecturer and author of 10 influential books, including Goddesses in Every Woman and The Million Circle. Her most recent is Urgent Message from Mother, Gather the Women, Save the World. It's what we're talking about today. And Dr. Bolen is a Jungian analyst, activist, and clinical professor of psychiatry. And I want to start out this segment with a Margaret Mead quote. She says, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And Isabel, I wanted you to talk to us today about how your feminine heroines in your books have influenced your readers, and how your new book is going to influence readers as it comes out this fall, because I love the way you help women to know themselves through your characters.
Well, first of all, I don't invent characters for other women to use as models. I just portray what women have always been, the women I've known, strong women who are never the average person, who do not comply with the rules, who are always dissidents, rebels. Good people, virtuous women, don't make history and don't make good characters for novels. When I write, I want people who go beyond the limits, who test everything, who question everything. In my latest novel that will be published in November, Inés of My Soul, I talk with the voice of the only Spanish woman who went to the conquest of Chile in 1540. 110 courageous, brave, brutal men went to conquer the end of the world that Chile was. And among them, one woman. And this woman was a healer, a drowser. She could find water. She was a real founder. And she went there not for glory or for gold. She went because she was in love with a guy.
Oh, we can't wait to read this.
Yeah. So that's the kind of person that I like to put in my books, because they exist. And I think that most women have that in them, that incredible courage.
And that's what we have to call forward by having conversations and by having books that we can read like this. I mean, Justine, in the media, you can see how the role of women has moved from, well, in the 30 years you've been on, you know, New Dimensions Radio.
It's so amazing. I remember years ago we were having a conversation with Joseph Campbell, who's one of our he brought fairy tales out of the closet and said, hey,
yes.
Myths are real in our lives and they inform our lives. And we asked him, well, what do you think the new myth is? And he said, well, you can never predict what's going to form a culture. But he said, I feel that it's something about the rise of the feminine. And that's what we've been seeing for now 35 years, has been seeing this groundswell of the rise of the feminine, and not as against power being
no.
against, but this new grassroots of cooperation. And I'm thinking about an interview that I recently did with Carol Flinders, who has a book
yes.
called Enduring Lives. It's a wonderful book. And she's taken these sheroes and using four of them in her book, and I'll mention two, because we all know the work of Jane Goodall.
Yes.
And Jane has been working with chimpanzees, and then she really bucked the system.
Didn't she, though?
That she went, they said, oh, no, a woman can't go in the jungle and do this, and a woman has to do it in this certain way. She didn't do it that way. She observed the chimpanzees in a very feminine way. She could see their relationship. She didn't take them apart and just study this compartment and that compartment
right.
like men.
She listened to them.
She listened to them. The other one was Helen Prejean, who is working about the death penalty, and she's a nun and a very spiritual person, as is Jane. So how do we act in the world from a core of our being and stay true to ourselves and be out in the world? We need to study these people.
And to be inspired by them. Absolutely.
Well, you know, the word courage comes from the French word for heart.
Yes.
And so when you act from your heart and follow what is authentically right for you, you are living your personal myth. You're being true to who you are. And one of the things that really makes a difference for women is when they stop acting a role that has been imposed on them and is meaningless often, to going deeper and finding what really matters to them and what their heart really wants them to do, and it will often go against what other people think that they should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the characters for books.
Right. Exactly.
Not the people who follow the trend.
And when we talk about how women are seen today, I'd like to bring in the subject of young women. Who are the young women of today looking to give them the inspiration? I know that hopefully we are inspiring women today, but when we look at women in their 20s and teens and 30s, I'm not sure what books they're reading.
Oh, they are Hollywood.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of, you can't just say young women, period.
Well, no, of course not. There are many.
Huge.
I mean, there are women in California and there are women in Nebraska and women in New York City. And of course you can't, but let's see if we can break some of it down.
You said something very important about the Stanford.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, because there was a study at Stanford recently about what the students want from their lives. And 10 years ago, the study said that they wanted wealth and cars and houses and glory. And now it's more about a balanced life and service in the world and living a life that means something. And so that's a great sociological change. And Stanford is probably, you know, one of the schools that can offer leaders to the world for what could happen next. So it's a good study and it's a good thing to know.
Well, I was thinking there really are the following the trend Hollywood influenced young women. But the activists in the world have tended to either be in the Jane Goodall age group, mm-hmm. or women like Julia Butterfly Hill, who find themselves with a passion for something and then living it, and then it leads to a next step and a next step. And women have to do what matters to them because it's the only thing that has made a difference for women as a whole. Nobody gives us the vote. Nobody gives us new opportunities. We have to define what we're capable of ourselves.
I want to say just a little bit about Julia Butterfly Hill. For those who don't know her, because she's familiar with us, but she went up to on a redwood tree and sat on a platform, and she thought she'd be up there for a couple of days.
Wrong.
Really. But she kept following her heart. She ended up there for 3 years.
Indeed.
And it's amazing. And when she came down, she was so, we interviewed her when she was in the tree, and we interviewed her after she was in the tree. And it was amazing the transformation she's gone through and following her heart. That was not an easy thing to do.
I'd say not.
But she just kept saying yes, yes to what her heart was telling her, yes.
And I think that's the opening, because no matter whether you live in Nebraska or Florida or Washington, the invitation for young women to follow their heart and to follow their dreams, too, because we need to dream. We can't just go to basketball games and Game Boys and other things. The busyness is what probably bothers me the most about our culture in America today. My husband is French, and when we travel to France, there's longer dinners, longer lunch, longer conversations. And I feel that I want a slower pace to reflect and to enjoy and to taste life, because as we move into the second half of our life, we want to really see what our path is in the second part of our lives.
Well, you know, Julia Butterfly Hill may have been up in the tree all by herself, but she could certainly not have stayed there but for the support system.
Thank you.
That provided emotional support and food and the ability to communicate and protection.
Sure.
And so one of the things about activism within a group or a circle is that, yeah, you may falter. You may think, what am I doing here? But then you think, I can't let the rest of them down.
Right.
And there is something about women's activism, not about being the one hero who leads the troops. It's really that she's usually part of a group in which nobody wants to let the sisters down.
Yes.
Well, that's the way the microloans work. The microloans work with five women. You lend the money to one woman of a group of five. And if she cannot pay, the other five will pay. And everybody makes it somehow.
Isn't
because they
wonderful?
Cannot let the other four down.
And that's where gathering together creates an honor system, and it creates
Absolutely.
The support, and it brings integrity. And these are the words that we want to put into the vocabulary today. What would it look like if women did connect with the intention of changing the world? Stay tuned to hear what we have to say. Keep listening. We'll keep talking.
Dr. Joan Kenley, taking conversation radio to the next level, here on 960 The Quake. What's not to love about The Joan Kenley Show, where conversation truly matters, on 960 The Quake.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you back to our final segment of The Joan Kenley Show. This hour, we're asking the question, how can gathering women save the world? And we're defining so many things today, and we're so excited here in the studio with Jean Shinoda Bolan, Isabel Allende, and Justine Toms. And we're coming back in with so many ideas that we had during the break that I hope we can get them all in. And let's start out with you, Justine, and tell us where you are in this moment of influencing and inspiring our listeners as we pull this all together.
Well, one thing that I notice in this time, and this came up in the last segment, Joan, is about how busy we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a phrase that my husband and I use. We're in a time of Olympic levels of distraction.
Yes,
so,
we are.
Isabel, you talked earlier about how women are imprisoned, actually physically imprisoned in their homes in other cultures. In this culture today, we are imprisoned by our distractions.
Yes.
It is much a wall around us as anything. So to really take the time to look at how am I really distracting myself? I mean, the media is focused on celebrities and we get fascinated by that, or focused on something grotesque that's...
Or being superwoman.
Or consuming.
And
yes.
Consuming, bye, and then we get in this terrible revolution of buying and then having to get the money to buy more. And so I'm just saying...
I'm exhausted listening
I mean,
to
it is exhausting.
What we're doing.
So take a deep breath.
Yes. Everybody in the audience, take a deep breath.
And know that breath, that is our portable altar. We are able to bring that with us wherever we go. It does a physiological change in our body.
Indeed.
When we just take a deep breath. And what I'm fond of saying is that to know that we need to take care of ourselves, our own spiritual well-being. And that's like the in-breath. Take a deep breath. Go to our sacred center. Go walk in our gardens. Go talk to a friend. Read a poem. Do whatever it takes to center ourselves. But that's not enough. Then we need to take that out in some way. And it's not that we have to go save the whole world. No one of us has to do everything. But each one of us must do something.
And
that's the call. And it's best to do it what's close to us. Start with what's close to us, if it's our family, our community, whatever it is. And always, always try and surround yourself and call into yourself friends of the heart, as we spoke earlier.
Yeah. I think that have a list of your priorities. Eliminate from your life so many things that are totally unnecessary. I see my grandchildren overscheduled.
You bet.
They have no time to be creative or to be themselves or to be bored. The idea is that they are busy all the time. This means that the parents have to run around like rats.
Yes, indeed.
Trying to take them from one place to the other and supervising every moment of their lives so that they will not be unhappy, so that they will be competitive, so that they will be perfect.
And don't you find that then it's hard for them to be quiet and still?
It's hard for the kids, but also it's hard for them to fail.
Yes.
And we learn from our failures.
Yes, we do.
So just stop, breathe, as Justine says, and let them be bored, for God's sake.
Yes, or let them reflect for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, but we're also speaking about us.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's since we are the natural resource that we have been given to spend in this world. We are the magnus opus, the great work, the story that we will write however we live it out. And it's short. One of the wonderful, awful parts of growing older is realizing how fast time has gone by and how relatively little time we have left.
It is true.
So what are we going to do, as Mary Oliver speaks about, doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Mm-hmm. Tell me, what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And that's the kind of energy that we need to get in touch with. What is it about our own unique life and the suffering that we've gone through and the lessons that we've learned and the difficulties and the deaths of the people that are no longer with us that tell us something about it is important what we do with our life?
And
really,
it's a privilege to be able to choose.
Yes.
We have a very privileged society where we can actually decide our destiny or our career or what we choose that is our passion. And we have enough, most of us, money to sustain or go after that or learn how to do that. And I know that we are more conscious today because of the media. I'll give a media the plus on this side, that we know more about what's happening in other places of the world so that we can have a certain collective consciousness, a certain collective wisdom about what isn't happening for others and to be in heartful consciousness for their state of being and for their plight. And we know that one good thing that celebrities are doing for us, George Clooney, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, they're bringing these stories to us, and without their support, we probably wouldn't be seeing some of the things we know about today.
We have never been in a more connected world. Thanks to technology, we can be really a huge circle. And we are getting there. We might get there. So I think we have to use that very wisely.
And Isabel and Jean, you're in a circle together, aren't you? And have been for some years?
Yeah.
And
we keep connected all the time through the internet and through the email.
Exactly.
We meet regularly, once every 2 weeks. And you know, if you put a circle in your schedule, you have time for quality time with good people to be connected with.
And it is so precious. It is so precious. Justine and Jean and I belong to the millionth circle, and we stay connected through the internet, but we do gather once a year if we're not in other conferences together. And because we have this committed intention together, it's as if we just picked up where we left off each year that we come together.
I think that it's really important what we're saying here about connecting with one another, and to bring it back to the media and knowing what's going on around the world. Somehow the way the media, the way it comes to us is like, here's all the problems in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just take that in and take that in, we get depressed. It feels so overwhelming. We want to pull the covers up over our heads as we become more aware of what's going on. So that is why it's so important for us to have an antidote to that, to keep our spirits up. Hope is believing in spite of the evidence and working actively to change the evidence. So to stay in that hope meaning we need to get together with friends of the heart, like Jean and Isabel, every 2 weeks to keep ourselves in that centered place that we can make a difference.
There's a lot of goodness in the world, more goodness than evil. I remember the time of the dictatorship in Chile, the very first few days, it was horrible. And my question was, where were these tortures hiding? How come that in 24 hours we have torture centers and concentration camps all along the country? Where were these people? They were always there, but there's many more good people. And I remember that a person said to me, for every torturer, there is 1,000 people willing to risk their lives to hide somebody, to help somebody cross the border.
It is true.
And it is true. Many people are doing good things. So let us not be depressed.
That's not getting reported.
No, because
no,
that's not news.
No, it isn't. And it's hard to look at what we aren't hearing and the fact that we are able to be on the air today with a broadcast that's talking about what women can see, how we can highlight circles and Heartful Connection and the youth is a privilege, again, for us to be in the room together and to know that our work does matter in the world. And Jean, when you take Urgent Message from Mother, you have seen so many women who are willing to join the conversation about how peace does matter through the women gathering idea.
We watch the world change through women gathering together in consciousness-raising groups. That's all that was going on, women talking to one another, until there were enough of us together to truly change the culture. And that has to do with the idea of critical mass. When a critical number of any species changes an idea, what was resisted becomes the new norm.
Yes.
And then Malcolm Gladwell wrote the book The Tipping Point and said ideas can spread through culture like a virus.
Yes, he did.
Critical number of people catch that new idea, the culture changes.
It's happening now with the environment. That's right.
And thank goodness. I mean, thank you, Al Gore, for bringing this wonderful movie that has now most people talking about the environment that were not talking about it before. And it's Mother Gaia, it's Mother Earth that we're trying to save. And when the earthquake came in San Francisco and I was on the air about how people could manage their nightmares and their dreams afterwards, I explained that the Mother Earth that we thought was always going to be there under our feet had been truly shaken, and people were shaken to their core about something that could never move had moved under our feet, and it was a terrible time for us in California. So what message would you like to leave with our listeners, Isabel, as we...
Talk. Talk to your friends. Don't be isolated. And just get out and say everything you want to say. There are no secrets.
Oh, that's
what
juicy.
What makes us vulnerable is not what you say or what you are. It's what you hide.
Oh, I love that. That's great. And Justine?
And do it with enthusiasm. To be enthused with spirit, with it. Breathe in the spirit and not to be afraid. Listen to your heart and let it come out your mouth and out through your actions. Find that you resonate with and go for that. Give it, but follow the joy. And the joy is healthy. I mean, joy is a healthy part.
And it's contagious.
It's contagious. And we do want good things. So follow the joy for our good things.
Know that we matter. Know that that it makes a difference how we live, what we say, who we care about. All of us matter.
We do. And we hope that all of our audience has been stimulated, inspired, and challenged by our conversation today as we go to our close. And you'll know all about our guests and our archived shows and what we're talking about today if you go to joankenley.com, and that's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where the conversation can continue. And I want to quote Jean as we close by saying that each of us has only our allotted time to use as we choose. Midlife comes quickly to let us know how fast the years go by, what we've been talking about. And time is speeding up for the planet as well. A worst-case scenario could happen in our lifetime, or be what we leave as our fate for our children to face as theirs. The outer world numbs us to what the soul has to say unless we pay attention. And so we have paid attention today. And Jean and Justine and Isabel, thank you so much from my heart for being part of this conversation today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joan.
There is a collective big story about how women in the 21st century, when the fate of the earth and all life upon it is at risk. Coinciding with this, here we are, women who have been the beneficiaries of education, resources, reproductive choice, travel opportunities, the internet, and a longer life expectancy than women have ever had in human history. When people find themselves at a crossroads or in a crisis, to move forward toward health, reconciliation, and life, the challenge is to let go of outmoded ideas and attitudes or perceptions. Individually or collectively, a shift has to take place when the tipping point is reached and with an idea whose time has come. Gather the women, save the world. I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so very much for listening. We want you to know that The Joan Kenley Show brings you conversation radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be having a jazzy conversation about healthy grounds for coffee with Aurel Lanter of Uncommon Grounds and Andy Trindle of Vol Cafe Specialty Coffees. You won't want to miss the latest reasons for drinking your next cup of Java. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, program producer Shari Berger and Shane Sharkey, engineer and technical producer. Tune into our show for more conversation radio every Saturday at 5 on 960 The Quake.